Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome on in. It is the Buddhist Biohacker channel, but we are part now of the One Heart, One Earth November Awakening event. This is about global ascension and global healing all across the planet. It's been an incredible day. We are going into the last portion of our day. We still have 4 hours left to go. And it's all about holding the vibration of the planet. And you guys have been such an awesome audience. I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Some of you guys have been on all day with me, and I just love you. I appreciate all of you Summit Warriors that are out there that are being a part of this. And a lot of you have also been watching all of the presentations that are pre-recorded on the website. So welcome in. And you can also share your comments and questions here. And you can go to oneheartoneearth.net to register if you haven't already. It's all free. It's all free. And it's all wonderful. And I'm really happy and honored to introduce our next guest, Jim Drever. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you. And I was telling everybody in the last hour, I'm like, we haven't actually talked or met really. So I was really looking forward to just connecting in with your energy today and hearing everything you have to say.
Great.
Awesome. Well, we're going to start with you just sharing a little bit about who you are and what you do for everybody.
Well, who I am. So I was a truth seeker for 20 years. I just wanted to find out who I was. And I started off with, from New Zealand originally.
Okay.
He had studied to be a chiropractor in the early 70s. And in my last year in chiropractic school, I had a health crisis, which turned out to be a panic attack. I experienced panic attacks. I'm sure some of your listeners can relate to this. And I realized I needed to slow down, take time. So I took a course in TM, meditation, began reading books on yoga and Zen, and it woke my inner fire for truth. And I read the books of Jay Krishnamurti. And he really had a profound effect on me. And then I, My wife and I decided we wanted to stay in the States. So I went to Northern California to set up a practice. And after being there about 6 months, when I was 31, I had this awakening experience, this enlightenment experience, which I never, it came out of nowhere. I woke up one morning, summer's morning in 1977, I was 31 years old at the time. And I opened my eyes, sleeping next to my wife, of course. And there's a chink of sunlight shining through the, coming through the Venetian blinds, and the dust motes were dancing in the sunlight. And suddenly I heard a mourning dove cry outside, and then my mind, every thought of my mind dropped away. I experienced this magical peace, silence, oneness with everything right here, right now. I just lay there in a kind of wonderment of this. I never done any drugs at all. And then I got up slowly out of bed and went to write about it. And that experience of awakening, of course, I reverted to my normal ego-bound consciousness eventually. But it was as if a hole being punctured in my consciousness. And I seen the big R reality behind the little R reality. The little R reality is what I describe as the everything we can touch, taste, see, and feel. That's the ever-changing little R reality. But the bigger reality, the consciousness we are, is always here. And so I made a decision on that day, and it wasn't an intellectual thing. I just knew that this is what I wanted. I wanted to live like this. So I spent the next 20 years learning how to do that.
Hmm.
I studied with Jay Krishnamurti for a number of years. I left him, and eventually in 1984, I met this man named John Klein, who was a teacher of Advaita Vedanta, European man. And his example, because he'd been a Westerner, he was a Westerner like us. He'd been married before. He wore Western clothes. He didn't look like an Indian guru. I didn't want an Indian guru. I wanted somebody who could feed me the truth straight. Of course, what he said was, in one way or another, you're not who you think you are. Find out who you really are, and you'll be free.
Hmm.
And so I studied with him for 11 years, and I was teaching already seminars of my own as a chiropractor, somatic technique, body-mind seminars. I had a young child and had a busy practice. And I would see him once or twice a year and read his books and watch his few videos. And then finally one day, 11 years later, the spring of 1995, I was lying in bed, and I'd been divorced for a few years now. My son was 11 years old, been divorced since six. And I was paying child support, and my practice wasn't doing so well now. And so I had difficult financial circumstances. I woke up this particular morning, I woke up feeling depressed. And I thought to myself, and I'm depressed, of course, over my financial situation. So I was about to get out of bed and go and meditate because I knew how to clear the depressed energy through meditation. But this particular morning, I lay there and I thought to myself, how come this is still happening to me? How come I'm still getting depressed? How come I'm not free yet? And so I lay in bed and close my eyes and remember something Jean Klein had said. Find out who you really are, and you'll be free. And so I went deeply into the interior of my own consciousness with a question, okay, Jim, you say you're depressed. Who is this me who's depressed? I looked everywhere outside myself, and I suddenly realized, my God, it's just a story. My story, I am depressed, creates the real feelings of depression in me. And when I saw that I was looking and answering the question was perfectly fine, something shifted and I felt fine. Hmm. I got up, went about my day. And the same thing happened the next morning. Three mornings in a row it happened. And after that, it was all over. I'd seen that I was not my ego eye. It was not my story. In fact, I was not anything between my ears. The world between my ears shifted and changed, came and went. And so I spent the last 25 years sharing this, finding new ways to share it with people, finding the best way of sharing with people. In my book, I wrote a book called End Your Story, Begin Your Life, which is still in print, published by Hampton Roads, and that's a book about how to wake up.
Hmm.
But the new book, Untriggerable, which is only in PDF at this stage, which, by the way, is available free to anyone who wants it. Just email me, jdriever@aol.com, and it'll give you a copy of it. But it contains a more streamlined, updated version of what has to happen for awakening. What has to happen for awakening in a nutshell is this. You have to see that you're not your eye thought. You have an eye thought, which is a vital tool. But you're not your eye thought because the eye thought comes and goes, shifts and changes. But we, observing the I thought, are always here. So getting in touch with what is always here. This is the true awakening. This is the final awakening. So in the old days, it was called enlightenment or self-realization. Same thing. So here we are.
Here we are. I love your story of awakening. It's so beautiful.
Every day I thank my God. I thank the universe for just giving us. But the gift can happen to everybody. I mean, we're already awake. That's the whole thing, right? We're already awake and free. We just have to see that we're not our story. Mm-hmm. Don't see that. They believe that they are their story, the me story, the I story.
And how do we come out of that, Jim? How do we come out of that I story? How do we come out of all the stories that are surrounding us right now? How do we come out of those? Because it's not easy.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. And that's, you're right. We witnessed the story of the United States election, right? Yeah. And, between two men who were both very much bound by their egos. But that's politics. That's people don't know that. In my new book, Untriggerable, there's 108 lessons, none longer than two pages. And I have one of the lessons on awakened leadership. About awakened leadership is awakened leaders, they have an ego, but they know they're not their ego. This is the key. You have to see that you're not your ego. So awakening is all about seeing. So it's nothing you have to do to wake up. You know, you can do meditating and chanting and prayer and rituals and diets and so on. All that will help you become a better person. It won't awaken you. Awakening comes through seeing the truth. Seeing the truth is you're not your story. You have a story, but you're not your story. You have a me thought, but you're not your me thought. You have an ego, but you're not your ego. And the more you awaken to the truth of what is, the more you rest in being here now. You relax into being here now. And being here now without any story, it always feels great. You just feel one with the universe all the time. It's wonderful.
That's so beautiful. I just had said yes, or the other day, I guess it wasn't yesterday, maybe it was Sunday, but you know, my vision for the planet is really coming home to yourself where you are right now. And it's exactly what you're saying. You know, we have to just accept today.
Yes. We have to accept today. We have to accept even not today, but this very moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Hi, Karen. Hi, Vishali. Karen says, thank you, Lisa and Jim. Vishali says, Jim's books are fantabulous. Thank you, Jim. You're seeing the truth.
Vishali, hello.
Oh, we love you guys. Both Karen and Vishali are presenters this week. So you guys can all find their presentations on the website. But, you know, Jim, our theme for this event was remember who you are. And I love your story about, you know, when you realize who you are, you know, all the rest of it falls away. And what are your thoughts on remembering who you are, or what else do you want to share about that?
Right. Well, you know, there's a line from the Tao Te Ching, which actually opens up the Tao Te Ching. It says, the Tao that can be named is not the Tao. If name be needed, wonder names it. So that's what we are. We're truly wonderful beings of light. We are truly radiant beings of consciousness. And, you know, you have a name, I have a name. We all have names, but we're not our names. People, the proof of that is people change their names all the time, right? Particularly here in California. At least they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So my name is Jim Driever, but I'm not attached or identified with my name. I'm a writer. I write books and teach workshops and things like this. And so remembering who we are is really about remembering what we are. What we are is this luminous presence that's here right now. We're all, always here right now. And knowing ourselves as this right now is what awakening is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is. What are your thoughts on this global awakening? Like, what do you think about everything that's happening around us right now? And do you think it's possible for a global awakening? Do you think it's individual? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's happening. It's people are waking up, and we're all waking up to the same reality, which is we are one, really. Mm-hmm. Underneath all our differences, underneath all our names and forms and languages, and the colors of our skin, we are one breathing consciousness, one reality. And so it's definitely happening. And it's great. I embrace it. You know, I followed a traditional path to quote unquote enlightenment, but I quickly learned that enlightenment itself is a loaded word, right? My guru is more enlightened than your guru. My guru can answer any question you raise, even about mathematics and calculus and so on. It's not about that at all. Enlightenment is simply seeing that you're not your story. You're this beautiful conscious awareness that's present here right now. And there's only now. So what happens when you wake up is that you realize you wake up as you see that you're not your story. You're not any story, not even the I story, the ego story. You see, the more you see that, the more you realize it's only now. You awaken to the power of now, as Eckhart Tolle would say. It's only here, right? No matter what the clock says, the time is always now, right?
Yep. So true.
And so the more people are rooted in the now, the more they know themselves as this awareness or presence here now, the more the freer we are. And the advantage of awakening on a personal level is that all the suffering goes out of your life, because there's no me to suffer anymore. You've seen through the me. And yet you still have the me available when you need to set all strong boundaries, for example. You need to be able to say a strong yes or a strong no when it's needed, which is where untriggerable comes in, because as you become more awakened to who you really are, you become more and more untriggerable. Except in those moments when you get triggered. But even that is okay, because we're still human, so we still have an ego. So my ego was your ego is shaped by your personality, and vice versa.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions for you too, with the being like, what does untriggerable mean? Because what I've noticed is through my own journey, I mean, I've been doing inner work for working on myself for 20 years. And what's happened is the more that I merge into the ocean of consciousness, I'm still triggered, but I usually can let it go right away or have humor about it. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm really angry. Like, what the heck? So it's like the triggering's there, but it's not, it doesn't stay. It kind of just goes away. Sometimes it takes a day or two, but most of the time, you know, within an hour or two, it's like, okay, that's gone. And so I'm curious, like, how would you define untriggerable? What does that really mean?
I would say the way I define it is you can't really be triggered any longer. You've reached this state of true awakening. You're truly awake, which means you've seen through completely this I, this me that you thought you were before. But, I mean, I haven't been triggered in a long time, but I'm sure I could still be triggered. I don't know by what, but I'll be surprised someday and by it. And then I think, well, I was triggered. And I'll quickly come back to the knowing of who I really am, because that's what I live with. I don't the secret of not taking things personally is not to take yourself to be a person, psychological, emotional person. And when you realize that the person actually doesn't exist except as a story in your mind, your memory, and you're free of that story. Just an example, I was standing in line one day, this was a few years ago, at Starbucks coffee, and I overheard a middle-aged woman talking to a friend at the table next to me. So next to where I'm standing, she's saying to myself, to her friend, "I feel so judged by him." That's what she said. "I feel so judged by him."
Mm.
And I thought to myself, wow, that sums up the whole history of humanity's suffering. People taking themselves to be an I, a me, an ego, and feeling judged by somebody else. And I silently blessed the woman. And because when we stop judging ourselves, because we see that what we're judging is an illusion anyway. It's not actually real. The I is not real. And the more the more present you are with that, the more you come to realize that this only this moment now is this moment now is all there is. So when I work with private clients, for example, I'm always bringing them back to here now and just breathing and breathe and relax and be here now. And whatever their suffering is, it can't exist when you're truly present here now. You can suffer later, but it's only now.
It's so wonderful. I want to invite you guys who are watching right now, if you guys have questions for Jim, please throw them in the chat box. And Heather says, making decisions from the place of we have today completely changes the course of our path. Karen says, I love the image, especially today, of us being one breath. So thank you, ladies, for sharing. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah, in fact, I was at a seminar this morning online, and the subject was the Lord's breath as a prayer. I guess from Kabbalah. The Lord's breath. It was a process of breathing in the Lord's breath. It's beautiful.
God, that sounds beautiful. What is your advice to folks who have had an awakening, like whether it was today or this week or throughout this entire year of 2020, where they've had this experience that's changed them, maybe because of what's happening across the planet, maybe it's just something that happened to them, but what's your advice to them if they're feeling a little bit unsure about where to go from here?
Well, my advice is they could email me and get my book. That'd be great help.
Yes, for sure. Well, and we have your links up on the oneheartoneearth.net site as well. So you guys can find Jim's information, and you can also find that he's got a video on there, and there's also links to his book for sure.
So you get the book and it's free. So you just it's a PDF that you can download. But my advice is keep on seeking that true awakening. Then the true awakening happens when you see that you're not this me that you thought you were. That's what you got to see. People usually typically awaken, and then the ego wants to run with it. You gotta see the ego that runs with it, you're not that either. And that's a deeper level of awakening. So you're always going to deeper levels of awakening until the final awakening is when you see that, my God, I'm not even this I that I thought I was. I'm not this me that I took myself to be. See the me and be free, as I say. Then you're free. Then you're then you're just here, no story at all, which means you're completely available to whatever needs to be said. or whatever never needs to be asked. So the lady, what was the question again?
The question was just, what's your advice to those who have awakened and they're feeling a little bit like they're not sure what direction to go?
I would say, don't worry about the direction. I would advise them just to, if I was speaking with them personally, which I am in a way, right?
Yeah.
I'd say just breathe and be here now and just ask yourself, is there anywhere deeper that I need to free myself from? Some old wound that I haven't faced. Triggering, getting our emotional triggers show us where we're not yet free. So that's the beauty of triggers. That's why my book, Untriggerable, the second portion of the book has to do with welcoming your triggers, loving your triggers, because it's showing you where you're not yet free. And you want to be free, right? You want to be totally awake, fully awake, here now, in this very moment. So the fastest way to get there is through your triggers. In fact, you learn to say, as I learned to say, bring it on. I bring it on. I want to see I'm not yet free.
I like it. How do you love your triggers?
Right. Well, that's a... I have a quote from Hermann Hesse, actually, a Nobel Prize-winning author, who basically said, you must learn to love your suffering. Because so long as you turn away from your suffering, it's like the old Irish saying, if you run away from a ghost, it'll chase you and haunt you for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what our triggers that we don't want to face, or suffering we don't want to face. That's kind of how it is with that. But if you stop and turn and face at the ghost, it'll disappear because ghosts are not real. So as soon as you stop and turn and face your triggers or your suffering, things begin to shift internally. And maybe involve a lot more weeping or crying or anger or whatever. But as soon as you face it, as soon as you be with it like a warrior, a true warrior, and this is the test of your... metal, right? Your M-E-T-T-L-E. How committed are you to awakening? How committed are you to waking up? Because awakening requires you to face everything within yourself. Everything. You can't be truly awake and free until you've faced and looked at everything. And that's where a guide can be helpful, a guide on the journey of being awake and free. Because the guide will help you, whether it's a man or a woman, help you face what you haven't really faced on your own.
What are some of the tools that you recommend when you are facing that darkness, that shadow side of yourself, and really working on loving and embracing that part? But it's obviously, it can be scary and it can be hard. And what are some of the tools that you feel are important for that?
Well, the main tool is if you feel like it's something you have difficulty facing, then a guide is a guide or a coach who's been there before. But ultimately, it comes down to you can't really have any tool except an open heart, and a welcoming of your own suffering, your own trigger. It's like psychedelics. You know, I did a lot of psychedelic research in like the early 80s, LSD and MDMA and mushrooms. And, you know, I was in Vietnam for 13 months. I served with New Zealand forces in Vietnam during the peak of the war there, during the Tet Offensive. I'm comparing with them, the mushroom trip I took with a mushroom ate me. I was more terrified facing the mushroom trip than I ever was in Vietnam. And I saw some pretty major, you know, shit, if you want to use that word, in Vietnam. But this mushroom ate me, and I was hanging on to life by a thread. I realized with hindsight, I didn't have the tools to let go. That's where a guide would have helped me. Because it was my ego was holding on. My ego was terrified of dying. I thought I was my ego. I didn't know anything else. So that was a great teacher in retrospect. It wasn't very great at the time. I was terrified.
Yeah. Heather has a question for you. She said, I'm in the middle of a legal battle to expose a toxic workplace, and she finds herself triggered with immense fear. Advice for grounding or finding a place of peace while she's going through this?
Well, Heather, thank you for the question. I would say that you just breathe and relax into now. Breathe and relax into here now, in this very moment now. I could guide everybody on a meditation briefly. I'll do that.
Nice.
So just close your eyes, everyone, and just breathe and relax. Breathe and relax into being here now. And listen to the sound of my voice. Notice how the sounds come and go. But you, the listening, are always here. And notice the sensations and feelings in your body. Notice how they come and go, shift and change. But you, the awareness of the sensations and feelings, are always here. And pay attention now to the thoughts in your mind. Notice how them coming and going too. Maybe racing around, maybe slowing down. The I thought, the me thought. You have all these thoughts, but notice how they come and they go. But you, the awareness of the thoughts, are always here. So just breathe into the awareness you are. You are this timeless, ever-present, beautiful, luminous awareness or consciousness. That's what we all are, underneath our thoughts, underneath our stories, underneath our feelings and emotions. So I just invite you just to breathe into the awareness you are, the presence you are. And affirm to yourself, I am this. I am this pure awareness. I'm not my ego. I have an ego, but I'm not my ego. I have an I thought, but I'm not my I thought. So just go deeper into the awareness you are. Breathe. Very present. And just open your eyes now. And be here now. Right? Be here now. This is it. There's nowhere else other than here now. Heather, how are you feeling right now?
Go ahead and comment, Heather. I'm feeling great. That felt great to me. And in fact, Jim, I'm so thankful. I think I needed... You know, I've been on these lives all day and they've been really beautiful, but to have just a moment, oh, beautiful. Heather said like she's crying and she's her hands all.
Beautiful.
So beautiful. Oh, that was amazing. And Karen has a question for you. She says, how might we transform our feelings of being triggered when we witness the suffering of others at the hands of those who hold power into something that helps those who are suffering?
Oh, that's a heavy question.
Yeah, that's a big question.
Just like this, just acknowledge all that you see, all that's unfair, and all that's triggering you, and just... breathe and remember that there's only now. There's only this moment now. So you breathe and you welcome the triggers. And then you, maybe it's a call to action. Maybe you need to do something about it. Whatever you can do, whatever action you can do, which helps ease other person's suffering a little bit. You do that.
Thank you so much. Vishali says, I first read Jim's Change Your Story, Being Your Life. I knew I am not me, but was still in my story a lot. When a question comes up, I can hear Jim's voice say, this is it, sister.
By the way, the title of the book is End Your Story, Begin Your Life.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The main thing, yes, yeah, this is it. I remember the client I had in Hawaii, she's doing a yoga seminar with online, and the woman said to the audience, the yoga students, what if this was it? What if this was it? There's nowhere else other than here now. And of course, I asked her what her name was, and her name was Stephanie Lopez, who is the right-hand person for my friend Richard Miller, who runs the iRest program, iRest.com or iRest.us. It's a method of, he and I shared the same teacher, John Klein. So we go back a long way and back to the early 80s. And that's the thing to get. This is it. There's nowhere else other than here now. And so people who are truly awake, they live here now. They're always present. They honor the past. They use their mind to honor the past, keep an eye on the future, including setting goals and making plans. Well, it still happens, but ultimately, in the end, this is it. There's nowhere else other than here now. And from the here now, so when you're establishing your true nature as a here now, you are being here now. You are being here now. And then you look around and see what needs to be done, what you need to do, which may involve thought, may involve action. And then you have the results of your actions. You be, do, have, right? You have the results of your actions, but you're not dependent upon the results for your well-being. If the things don't work out, then you try a different attack or try a different tack. Because you're already established in being, which is to access the resource of well-being. But most people who are not awake to the truth, who believe they're in their I thought, they believe they're still me, this is me. They operate from do, have, be. They do, they're always doing, right? They're always doing stuff in order to have the results they want to have to allow them to relax and be happy. And how well does that work? It works 50% of the time, maybe. If goal achievers and never satisfied for very long because they want the next goal, the next mountain to climb. So the more awakened paradigm for living is to be, do, have. Another line from the Tao Te Ching says this, the way to do is to be. The way to do is to be. So the more established being you are, the more you just intuitively know what to do. I mean, my mind is very quiet. That's, again, the mark of an awakened person. Their minds are generally very quiet. A lot of space and emptiness inside between the ears. But the mind is instantly available whenever you need to use it, whenever you need to think about something. Think about a birthday. My son turned 36 recently. Aww. And this sweet thing. And he's a poker dealer in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's amazing. So anyway, and he's a man and child, but I love him, of course.
That's so cool. You know, my grandfather was a bookie in Las Vegas for many, many years.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, he loved it. That was what he did in his retirement. I really love what you say about if you want to do, just be. It's definitely been a theme today that, you know, the birth of creation and inspiration comes from just being in the present moment. It's really such a gift to have this reminder today for all of us in the midst of everything that's going on around us. I mean, it really is. I mean, you're just such a gift, Jim.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm just doing my thing. You know, I tell you a story from my past. As a little boy, I remember I couldn't understand why my parents weren't happy with each other. I just wanted to, and then I looked at other people, their relationships weren't so happy either. And I just wanted to, I wanted the world to get along when I was very young. This is, I grew up in New Zealand, which 10% of the population in New Zealand are Maoris, dark-skinned people who are Polynesian. And it's not really overt racism in New Zealand, but there was kind of a covert racism. And I just wanted to get figured out. I just wanted to figure out my place. And, of course, I started on this awakening journey. It took me 20 years to finally I realized my place is right here, right now. We're always this right here, right now. We're not our stories. We have stories. The stories are a delight to share and delight to listen to. But in the end, the quality of the connection, like when you're passionately lovemaking with your partner, there's no story, maybe a little bit of fantasy in play. But it's just a primal passion, lust. And so then we come back to now. Mm. So that's the thing, another thing about how awake you are, know you are. You can always tell yourself how awake you are. You can drop the story you're sharing at any moment and just be.
Hmm.
If you can't let something go because you're bugged by it, then you're not fully awake, so that you got more work to do. But the work, fortunately, is easy work. It's joyous work because it's just about seeing. You don't have to do anything. You just have to see. My God, I love my story. I was my story when I believed it was my story, which is I had all this conflict in my life. When you realize you're not your story, then you come back to now, and the feeling is always this, a feeling of ease, harmony, and flow. That's my experience 90% of the time, ease, harmony, and flow. I'm still human, you know, sometimes I don't sleep well or have an indigestion. So we allow space for that humanity. Awakening truly embraces our humanity. We, above all, are human.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And well,
go ahead.
So I remember Teilhard de Chardin saying, we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Mm.
And that's more like it.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give you some space here at the end to just share, you know, how folks can connect with you and what's accessible to them. Obviously, you have your book for free for everybody, which is wonderful. And but just I thought I'd just give you some space to kind of share what you've got going on and how folks can access you.
Well, the easy way to access me is through my website, jimdriever.com. Jimdriever.com. You can email me through there with my book and the free book, by the way. You just put BB, Buddhist Biohacker, a free book, BB. I'll know where you came from. And I'll send you the book. And that's the best way to contact me. And then in terms of my life and my work, I do things like this maybe once, twice a month. and see private clients, of course, on Zoom or Skype. And otherwise, I like to take beach walks in the evening and or late afternoon, and we're at the gym when I could go to the gym, but that has been for a long time now. I do some yoga occasionally.
I love it. Jim, I really have appreciated having you on today. Do you have parting words of wisdom for us today?
Yes. Come back to now. Come back to this moment now. This is all there is. Just breathe, relax, and be present now. You'll soon know what to do. Thank you, Lisa, for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's just been an honor, an honor. I hope you come back in the new year. We'll figure that out. And
yes,
so much love to you where you are.
Much love to you, Lisa. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. We'll be back, everybody, in a few minutes with Anna Downing. So stay tuned, and thank you all for being a part of this awakening. It's just been an incredible day, and it just keeps going. So thank you, Jim. Vishali says thank you. Burnett says thank you. Kathy says thank you. Thank you, guys.